You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Umpires are key figures in every game of baseball, but their role is to do their job without attracting too much attention. And when they make the tough decisions, they have to endure the wrath of fans, coaches, and players just for doing their jobs. New York Times reporter Bruce Weber immersed himself in the world of umpires, an isolated society with its own language and traditions. And on top of the usual interviews and research, he trained to become an umpire himself. The result is a book called As They See Him, A Fan's Travels in the Land of Umpires. It's published by Scribner. I'm pleased that it has brought Bruce Weber to the show today. Hello.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
You say that umpires are often overlooked and that they probably prefer to be ignored. So why did they allow you into their world?
Well, it took a while to persuade a lot of them. They are human beings. One of the things that sort of contradictions that they live with is that they want to be ignored, because usually when they're not ignored, trouble is on the way. On the other hand, they think they are vastly underappreciated, and so they would like to be better known. One of the things that I did write in this book was train to be an umpire. When they found out that I had actually gone through the training, a lot of them were a lot more willing to talk to me.
They usually get attention with a blown call.
Yeah.
Now, baseball history has been filled with scandals, a fixed World Series, racism, players gambling, taking performance-enhancing drugs. But you write that in 130 years of baseball, only one umpire has been accused of professional dishonesty. That seems remarkable.
I think it's remarkable, too. It was a man named Richard Higham, and it was in 1882. He was accused by the owner of the Detroit Tigers for being in league with gamblers, but it was only after the Tigers had lost a game when he was on the field. And while I was writing the book, I got a phone call from Mr. Higham's great-grandson, who called to tell me that he'd done tons of research and the fact that the charges were spurious.
Wow. I don't know. I wasn't there. But why do you think umpires have been able to avoid scandals on the whole? Because they really are in a situation where they can affect the end result of a game.
One of the reasons that guys become umpires is to be a part of the game. I think young men make a decision to try to become an umpire when they're young, before they've had any other real idea of what to do for a living. So they think they'll try this. But once they actually get into the game, it becomes impressed on them very quickly, their responsibility. There are so few rewards for being an umpire, particularly in the minor leagues, where the pay is dreadful and the travel is arduous.
If you have a family, you're leaving them for almost half a year.
Yeah, exactly. So the one thing that you have to count, and you can't win, you don't win or lose like the players. So the one thing that you have to count on is your pride in upholding the integrity of the game. And this becomes impressed on these guys very early. And if they can't hold on to that, they really can't hold on to anything.
Did any of them tell you that they were aware of drug use among the players?
Yeah. Well, most of the guys that I talked to in the big leagues said that they were pretty sure that the players were using steroids. You could tell that certain players would come on the field snorting like bulls. I mean, they would, I asked them if they ever decided, they thought they ought to blow the whistle, and they said, well, we used to talk about it among ourselves, and we'd think about it, but, we all knew what the reaction would be if we went to the manager and said, your third baseman is foaming at the mouth over here. The guy would say, look, you do your job and I'll take care of my team.
They're resented enough as it is.
Exactly.
People in baseball refer to umpires as a necessary evil, and they even say that about themselves.
Yeah, they're a little sardonic when they say it about themselves. But yes, umpires are pretty much aware that if the powers that be in baseball could, they would do away with them.
Well, but somebody has to be out there to do it, to call the plays. And every sport does have a referee or an umpire.
Yeah, I mean, it gets discussed all the time. There are annual general managers meetings in baseball, and Mike Port, who is the who was a former baseball general manager and is now Major League Baseball's vice president in charge of umpiring, told me that every year somebody, there's all of this complaining about the umpires, and somebody always brings up the fact, well, why do we need them anyway? Can't we arrange for some kind of technology to do their jobs?
Could that be possible?
I don't think so. I mean, I would never say that technology couldn't figure it out, but it would seem to me that it would be stupid.
Well, it would eliminate one aspect of the game that some of the players really get upset about, and that is the area of the called strike.
Well, I think some players get upset about it, and some players are more upset by the electronic control that baseball now does exert on the strike zone. I'm speaking of something called the Questex system, which is available in several major league parks and is used to condition the umpires and to grade them on their ball and strike performance.
We see it on television sometimes where they show.
It's a slightly different thing, but it's similar. The Questex system is a series of cameras and computer graphics that tracks pitches and can tell whether a ball passed through the strike zone on the way to the plate. And they, in Major League Baseball headquarters, they map the umpires' calls against the calls by the computer and give the umpires grades.
So does this fill them with anxiety? Because they come across as self-assured and confident.
Well, actually, Questex doesn't fill them with anxiety at all. It turns out to be pretty easy to call a Questex strike. It's easier to call a Questex strike than it is to call, than it is to sort of fulfill the responsibility that umpires feel when they're not in a Questex park.
I mean, calling a Greg Maddux strike, which is about 4 inches off the plate.
Well, let me backtrack a little bit and give you my spiel about the strike zone, because it's there is a chapter in this book called Ballish Strikes and Strike-Like Balls, and I tried to explain why a strike is not a strike is not a strike is not a strike. The most fans at this point are conditioned to think they know what a strike is, precisely because of what you were saying before, that little yellow box that television puts on the screen that says, here's a strike, and you can see whether... Well, even Major League Baseball will say that that isn't accurate. It's there for entertainment purposes only. The camera that shoots that shot is not directly behind the pitcher, because if it was, you wouldn't be able to see the plate. So it's either up or it's to the side. So that's a little bit off. The strike zone itself has changed its definition officially 6 or 8 times in the last 60 years. So baseball itself has acknowledged that, we don't quite have this right. What the strike zone really is a negotiation. It's the starting point for a negotiation. It is, when you think about it, an invisible box of air. And it sits over the plate, and the umpire has to locate it on every pitch. And And it is the fulcrum of a seesaw, really, between the offense and the defense. And it's the umpire's job to make sure that it's located properly.
And ballplayers often will adjust to an umpire's strike zone. The only time they complain is when it keeps on changing throughout the
course
of the game.
Exactly. What they want is consistency, and they want it to be a reasonably fair shape. They don't mind if the umpire's calling a little bit off the outside corner, because the hitters can reach that ball with the barrel of the bat. They do mind if it's off the inside corner, because all they have there is the handle of the bat.
Sometimes umpires are accused of being vindictive and evening scores, especially in punishing players who they feel have made them look bad, and that's often on a called strike.
Mm-hmm. They are accused of that often. And if every time you ask an umpire if that's true, he says, look, the players think that you're vindictive. They say, well, good, that's what we want them to think. But they will not cop to that. I'm often asked, is there such a thing as a makeup call? Where an umpire knows that he's made a mistake, will he make an adjustment?
Sportscasters say there are.
I would answer that question this way. I would say that when an umpire makes a mistake, just as any human being does, your powerful human impulse is to correct it. And umpires are no less human than anyone else. I think there is a conscious effort on the part of most umpires to battle that impulse, and that sometimes they lose.
My guest is Bruce Weber of the New York Times. He's been with the paper since 1986. His latest book, As They See Him, Fans Travels in the Land of Umpires. It is published by Scribner. So you decided to go to umpire school, obviously not with the thought of leaving the New York Times.
No.
Because you were doing research for this book?
Yes. The first time I went to umpire school was on assignment for the paper. I went down there for a couple of days thinking it would just be a bit of a lark. And what I saw there surprised me so much. I realized there was so little that I knew about umpires that's when I first got the idea for the book. And Jim Evans, who ran the school, said, you know, we've had a lot of reporters come down here, but we've never had one go through the school.
There are two schools, aren't there?
There are two. There's the Jim Evans Academy of Professional Umpiring in Kissimmee and the Harry Wendelstedt Umpiring School.
Now, Harry Wendelstedt is one of the rare names that people will recognize mm-hmm. As a major league umpire. Bill Clem, maybe Eric Gregg. There are a few others.
Right.
But most of them remain relatively anonymous.
That's right. I have not run into a single baseball fan who can name the eight umpires who are in the Hall of Fame. I'm not sure I can do it as
Bill
I'm sitting
Clem.
Here. Bill Clem is one.
and that's the way they want it, you say?
Well, I don't think that's the way the umpires want it. I mean, I think even Bill Clem, who was a monumental egotist himself, is one of the people who has been credited with saying an umpire has done his job if you don't know who he is. But he would never have said that an umpire after his career should not be recognized for what he contributed to the game.
Is there a problem when you stand out? For example, we don't see all that many black umpires. And no woman has been able to maintain a major league career.
That's correct.
A few have been brought up very briefly, but
There has not been a woman on a major league field during the regular season.
Yeah, no, only during spring training.
Right.
And you can't, there doesn't seem to be any justification other than the fact that there's fear that they would stand out too much.
Well, they're related. The black umpire problem and the female umpire problem are not the same, but they're related. And they are related in the sense that the pipeline that feeds the major leagues there are no women in it now, and there are a relatively small number of black minor league umpires. The way in which you become a major league umpire is so convoluted, and it's such a weird war of attrition that it's almost the people who get there are the ones who have sort of refused to be discouraged. There have been very few women who have attempted that. There have been very few blacks, relatively speaking, who have attempted it because, I mean, let's face it, you have to spend 8, 10, 12 years in the minor leagues in order to get a chance at big league baseball, and the pay is dreadful.
Is the pay dreadful? It can't be dreadful on the major league level.
On the major league level, it's not, but the difference between the top AAA salary, which is $3,500 a month, and the major league the minimum major league salary is $95,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
That's quite a leap.
But often a AAA player is being paid quite well because he signed a bonus. He's
right.
Somebody who is destined for the major leagues. The same thing doesn't happen to the umpires. Are they paid on a year-round basis?
Not in the minor leagues. No, they're paid on a monthly basis.
So this is a 5 or 6 month year job.
Exactly.
And then they have to work at something else the way baseball players used to?
That's correct. It's one of the real oddities and to my mind shames of Major League Baseball, a $6 billion business, that they are not, they have pretty much washed their hands of umpire training and development.
How long is the umpire training?
The umpire school is 5 weeks.
And do you have to memorize the complete rule book?
Well, yeah. the school is just the first step, really. I mean, it's anybody can go. You don't have to have umpiring experience. You don't, which is also a kind of odd thing. These are independent schools that are sanctioned by the big leagues, but not helped by the big leagues. So they're small businesses that have to make money. At the end of the 5 weeks, each of the schools chooses its top graduates and sends them to an evaluation camp that is run by the minor leagues, and the minor leagues decide who to hire.
that your teachers told you, don't think, react.
Right. It's it was one of the reasons that I was that I realized I wasn't suited to the umpiring vocation. Umpires really need to develop muscle memory, and they need to be able to watch a game and be involved in the game exactly the way, say, a center fielder or a shortstop does.
You describe the intricacies of yanking off your mask without upsetting your hat.
Well, it's just about the first thing they teach you at umpire school.
Really? Why is that so important?
Well, it has to do with maintaining your authority and dignity on the field. If anybody who has ever been to a Little League game or a high school game and seen an umpire take off his hat improperly and it ends up skewed on his head or on the ground and the umpire looks like a goofball, and that's something you never want to look like.
Why do umpires in the National League wear their chest protectors differently than the ones in the American
League? Well, they
don't
do it anymore. There is no National League and American League umpiring office anymore, but it used to be before the two league offices were put together back in 1999, the difference goes back to Bill Clem and Tommy Connolly, two of the most important umpires of the early part of the century. Clem, who was in the National League, insisted that his umpires wear an inside chest protector, and Connolly insisted that his umpires wear the big balloon protector, and that tradition persisted until the mid-1980s.
Has this experience affected the way you watch a game?
Yeah,
For example, when the manager comes running out and starts screaming at the umpire, do you have a better sense of what's really going on?
Yeah, I do. I actually do. And it's,
would lip readers be horrified?
Probably. I mean, there's the transcript of a rather famous argument between Earl Weaver, the manager of the Orioles, and Bill Haller, who was an umpire. It took place in 1980, and basically it's just an exchange of obscenities for about 7 minutes,
which always ends with the manager being expelled.
In this case, it began with the manager being expelled. That's one of the great things about umpire arguments is that the umpires throw the guy out, but there's nothing he can do to make him go.
Do they teach you about those confrontations?
Oh,
at
absolutely.
Umpire school?
What
do they tell you to do?
Well, there's an element of umpire school that's sort of like acting school. You know, they create situations on the field, and then the teachers come out and pretend that they're angry. They're angry umpires, and they want to see how well you hold up your composure and deal with the hostility of an angry manager. There are all kinds of little tricks. I mean, if the guy is standing on the dirt and kicking dirt on your shoes, the first thing you should do is walk onto the grass.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has seen on television umpires and managers going nose to nose and shouting at each other. One trick is that for umpires is to make sure that the bill of your cap is underneath the bill of the manager's cap so he can't beak you in the forehead with it.
But contact is a serious issue. People get fined even if they just touch the umpire.
Right, but usually, it used to be an old trick of managers that they would do it, you know, that they wouldn't be touching the umpire. Their hands would be down at their sides, but they'd be arguing and going like this and nodding their head so that, it was a way of poking the umpire without actually being penalized for it.
Do the teams see the umpires as part of the game or something outside of the game?
I think, unfortunately, I think they see them as being something outside of the game. I think the smarter players, the ones who really appreciate what's going on, believe that the umpires are, belong on the field with them. The ones who are more immature and who are more self-centered, they're the ones who get upset that they think that the crowd has come to watch them. They don't belong. You know, they ought to shut up and leave.
They're
us alone.
They're here at ours to serve us.
Right,
and they should just call the balls and strikes correctly
and
leave us alone.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's misguided.
Are they at all happier the fact that you probably didn't speak to anybody who was involved in the game when there were fewer umpires on the field. But there used to be, the umpires used to have to cover two bases.
Well, this is what they do in the minor leagues. You go to umpire school and you learn the two umpire system, just with one umpire on the bases, because that's how it is in the lower minor leagues. In double A ball, there are three umpires on the field, and you don't get to a four umpire system until you get to triple A.
Hmm. And then in the World Series, you have...
In the World Series, you get six. That's a whole other issue. I'm not sure that even that's a good thing. It leads to, as you know, it leads to as many screw-ups as it does happy endings.
Just one more thing. What happens when there is an obvious blown call? Do they get called into the Major League office? And,
well, they don't. Every incident, every bad call, every argument, every ejection is reviewed by the Major League office. You know, there is no penalty for a blown call per se, but umpires in the big leagues are very closely scrutinized. There are a number of supervisors who go out and watch. They're watched in about half their games, and their performances are rated, and all-star and postseason assignments are based on those observations.
And I assume that they're not hired back if there are just too many blown calls.
Well, that becomes a complicated issue because of the union, but in the minor leagues, that's certainly true. In the major leagues, there hasn't been anybody fired in quite a long time.
Bruce Weber's book, As They See Him, A Fan's Travels in the Land of Umpires, is published by Scribner. Thank you so much for being with us today.
That was great. I enjoyed it.